Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I am in Milwaukee, I'm reasonably sure. Padres, Brewers, three games this weekend. Then we get back to the National League West for a bit. Ryan, wow, it feels like that's just one of those long ones. I thought it was a wonderful series. Padres split in San Francisco. Where would you like to start?
Talk me down from the ledge here a little bit, Kevin. That's a series split that to me feels like a series loss. They win the first two, lose the second two. Dylan Cease is average to not good. Xander Bogaerts is hurt. Luis Arraez is hurt. Michael King is hurt. Yu Darvish is hurt. The Padres don't have a left fielder. Martin Maldonado is hitting one something. Elias Diaz isn't much better. There's 101 games or something like that remaining. Tell me that things are going to get better, because to me, this seems like a really sort of rough stretch roster wise.
Yeah. Now you have me sort of thinking that way. No, that is absolutely all accurate. I think even like the little bit of the dark cloud is fair. And, you know, obviously we'll see. But yeah, I think they'll get better. I think the Padres will get better. Like, they'll get a left fielder. You want to know a hint that they'll get a left fielder? You know, Buster Posey, general manager, future Hall of Famer of the San Francisco Giants, like, you wouldn't say blew up the roster, but he made some significant moves in the middle of that series, right? Mm-hmm. Brings in, was it Darren Johnson, a former Padres farmhand, a guy who's been around? He was in the Mexican League. The guy had a couple hits in Wednesday's game, so game three, made a great catch on a Luis Arraez ball that, you know, had he not made it, then it would have given the Padres the lead, mm-hmm. I believe, or at least tied the game in the ninth inning. Dominic Smith, who was available and who would have loved to have signed with the Padres a couple of weeks ago, and he plays left field. He's now playing first base, or he has did the first 2 days for the Giants. He was the hero, or one of the heroes, yesterday. Now, that's just to say, nice start, right? You're a general manager. You make those moves. Here's my long way of getting to this. The Padres didn't go in for Dom Smith. They think they're going to get better in left field. Now, it's on them to get better than Dom Smith, a quad A player who has had some moments in the major league. But I look at that and I go, okay, this is where if you say an AJ you trust, you have to trust they're going to get better. Now, you bring up the starting pitching, and Ryan, I don't know what you think, but like, it feels like a three and Nick Pivetta, a four and Cease, and a 3-5. Because you're talking about Kolek, Vasquez, and Ryan Bergeron. I'm not insulting anyone. I've been Randy Vasquez is, I think, probably biggest supporter, right, outside of the Padres organization and his parents. In terms of, look, this guy has done his job and more. But, like, the fact is who he is. And Dylan Cease is not getting the job of an ace of a top of the free agent class, like, counting on that guy to leave his mark on the Padres in this, you know, playoff / championship season on his way out the door. It hasn't happened yet, man. And that's a little scary.
That is a little scary. I mean, I
just went off there, didn't I? I'm sorry, Ryan.
You had a great note in today's Padres Daily when talking about Dylan Cease, and you made a little chart that's in there. Dylan Cease right now is 1-5 with a 4.72 ERA and 12 starts. Okay. Randy Vasquez is 3-4 with a 3.99 ERA in 12 starts. And Cease has 13 starts. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Randy Vasquez is, by nearly every definition except for WHIP, having a better year than Dylan Cease.
Yeah. Which, and if I should have, you know, now that you mentioned it, and I did look at it, but then, you know, with all the traveling, I just kind of, maybe it slipped my mind. A really good way to look at it, I think, and they're probably pretty even, and Randy might be better, is how often did they give their team a chance to win?
Right.
And I bet you they're even. Like, in that, what I mean is, did they go six and give up three? Did they go five and give up one? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're probably pretty even. And that speaks well of Randy Vasquez and not well of Dylan Cease.
Yeah, right. Randy Vasquez is having a great year for a five starter, and Dylan Cease is having a pretty poor year for an ace. A guy who's about ready to go into free agency, by the way. You know, both with both he and King, this is not a good time in their careers to go through bad stretches, right? These are guys who are going to be generationally wealthy if they can put together a good 4 months here.
You know what, Ryan? I want to amplify your point and say they're going to be generationally wealthy anyway. But they're pitchers. They're starting pitchers. And it's not a great market next year. But I just wanted to make that point. But your point is 100%. Spot on. And obviously King has been among the league leaders, but he's been hurt. I mean, I wouldn't say he was having the year that he expected, but you know, then got hurt. Yu Darvish making air quotes progress. And I don't mean that to be flippant or anything, just to say, okay, still haven't seen him and don't know when we're going to see him. So if we want to get real, right, which is what we started out this podcast doing here, about how we feel about this team that is 9 games over, a couple days ago was 11 games over, that holds the second of the 3 wild card spots, that's I think 2 games back of the Dodgers. All real good, except, yeah, there's some questions. And I just don't think that's a comforting thing for fans or the front office with 101 games to go.
Right, and 3 weeks of a gauntlet coming up. Right. Yep. I mean, to me, that's the larger issue is, you know, do I think Luis Arraez long term this season is going to be fine? Of course. Do I think Xander Bogaerts more or less isn't done for the year? Of course. But like if these guys are out for a couple of weeks, if Michael King is out through the end of June, if Yu Darvish is out through the end of June, you're throwing a bunch of 4s and 5s at the Dodgers. That's a scary prospect. I think.
So that was where I said, because you never know. Right. Like you say, team needs X or else they're not going to. And then they somehow defy that because that. So I didn't, when I was talking about Dylan Cease and the Padres absolutely need Dylan Cease to pitch more like an ace, I said, unless Yu Darvish and Michael King are going to come back and pitch into October healthy at a high level, and or the offense is going to be far better than it has been of late, then Dylan Cease needs to come back and pitch like an ace.
He does. And Michael King needs to come back. Period. You know, that's in it's strange. I'm putting Cease and King in the same boat here, but I shouldn't be. I mean, King has been a much better pitcher this year. And King's injury does not seem necessary. I'll let you speculate on King's injury. From what we've heard about King's injury, this does not seem like something that's going to keep him out of September and October baseball if the Padres make it. That said, you entered the season with 2 aces. And right now, who's your ace?
It's Nick. Right, you entered the season. Let's say that we both know we're using the word ace liberally, but like aces of this staff, co-aces of this staff, and you felt real good about Yu Darvish. So you were talking about your 3 playoff pitchers, and 2 of them are out. One's been out all year, and then the 3rd of them, the guy who finished higher in the Cy Young rankings, the guy who 2-3 years ago had a Cy Young runner-up in the American League, just hasn't. He's had, is it 4 quality starts? Like, and they were 3 excellent starts, and then kind of left. And you know, he's a guy who gets hot, man. And I did make the point. It was the first point I made. You know, I learned a lot covering Blake Snell. He would drive people nuts. Some inside the organization, mostly out, talking about how he was close, talking about how he felt good about that 5-inning, you know, 3-run, 4-walk, 12-strikeout game. And guess what? When he would talk like that, he was about to go on one of those 12-start, virtually unhittable, you know, Blake Snell, owner of 2 Cy Youngs, stretches, right? If I apply that sort of like, it's not just Blake, you learn from pitchers, man, and you learn from watching. You're like, man, that guy was really good and he gave up 4 runs. Well, he made 3 bad pitches, right? He got 1 bad call, made 3 bad pitches, one of them went over the fence. His night is ruined, and you're like, my gosh, he had 8 strikeouts. Guys were grounding out. They weren't making hard contact. I see why he's saying that was a better start or a good start. But We are in June. We are almost to mid-June. Maybe that's a stretch. We're in early June. We're almost halfway through the season. I don't know that like results are what matter here coming up. Okay.
Well, and it's easy to tell when a hitter is getting close, I think, right? You see some of the things that we saw from Fernando Tatis Jr. here the last couple of days, scalding a ball that had a 93% chance of being a hit and having it cut. Hitting a ball to the fence, tossing your bat because you thought you hit a home run to the deepest part of the hardest park in America to hit a home run out of, and then it gets caught at the fence. I can look at those things and go, yeah, he's getting there. Pitchers, I think you need sort of Kevin Acey level refinement in terms of you watch 200 baseball games a year. You cover 200 baseball games a year between the regular season and spring training. You can tell, I think, a little bit when a guy's getting closer, right? Or who's a hard luck loser. I'm not sure your average fan has that amount of savvy.
Well, yes, Kevin Acey and watching a lot of baseball and talking to a lot of people that know a lot about baseball. But right. Yes, there's these little hints. And then I'm wrong. And then those guys who know a lot about baseball are wrong sometimes. And fans are right sometimes. Like, that's this crazy game, which is why I think it used to be America's pastime and why those of us who still love it. Because, like, you do get to know things. But I do think that we lose track, all of us, of like the process sometimes. My point in the newsletter today and that I'm a little worked up about now is that, like, yeah, results right now, like very soon at least, results. Okay. Not to the second half yet, but big believer in Mike Schilt's second half, big believer in it's a long season. I'm a big believer in Dylan Cease, but results, man, results.
And that is what getting off to the start that they got off to has bought them, right? Which is their overall record's still great. I mean, they're still better, my guess is, than I thought they would be at this point in the season from a record standpoint. This is not a make or break couple of weeks. We're not talking about them being sellers at the trade deadline because they played so well the first month of the season.
Yes, and then went 7-2 recently.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Right?
7-2 against bad teams, but still 7-2.
Yeah, they beat the Giants a couple times in there. You know, yeah, they that is true. That is true. That's what you do. you know what's funny about the Giants, man? They were in that terrible stretch. They lead the league with 14 comebacks from multiple run deficits.
Wow.
You look at their team and you go, eh, but Matt Chapman, Willie Adames, slumping, yes, but you know, Wilmer Flores, who has turned into a very good player. And then when I say turned into, I mean, over a fairly long career has like, you look up and you go, wow, Wilmer Flores, that's a good guy to have in your lineup. Like, and they have excellent pitching. Something I didn't get in the newsletter that I just want to talk about. We are so low in the press box at Oracle Park. You can see the pitches almost like you have one of the great seats in the house. It is one of the great seats in the house. Robbie Ray, wow. Like Landon Roop, right below him. The kid yesterday. Landon Webb, the other day. Two nights ago, guy, whatever. Okay, Padres put up the 5 runs. They lost the lead. Logan Webb. Mm-hmm. Just wow, good pitching. I would love to have these seats every day. And then, you know, I had a chart in there today that I'd been meaning to do and I did, and it kind of bears out. You know what? Hasn't been a lot of schleps coming in and making the Padres hitters look bad. It's been guys who are pitching well before and after facing the Padres. That just so we're aware, they're going to have to do better against good pitchers, but they have been facing good pitchers.
Yeah, these guys aren't nobodies, for sure. And Robbie Ray, we talked a little bit about him in our last episode. Robbie Ray, when he's healthy, is a darn good pitcher. Mm-hmm. Still throws hard. I mean, still throws hard, attacks the zone. I mean, even sort of the way he stands on the mound, and for those of us who aren't watching, like he does, you know, kind of does this, looks at you, and then kind of turns sideways and pitches. He's a very good pitcher. He would be a good to great starter had he been able to stay healthy over the course of the last 12 years. And he's just hasn't been. You know, I mean, he was the ace of the Diamondbacks for a while, then he got hurt. And he signs.
He's the guy that you felt good. You know, you get to skip Corbin Burns now, right? When you got to skip Robbie Ray. Oh, I'm sorry, Robbie Ray's hurt. That's too bad. I won't see a good pitcher. Good for your team. You're not facing Robbie Ray.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, it's interesting. Kevin, can we talk about Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado real quick?
Yes.
You had a great sidebar the other day about Fernando Tatis. And I think one of the things that fans love about him is he does sort of wears emotions on his sleeve. You know exactly what kind of a mood he's in just watching his body language. This is a guy who's had a hard month, it seems, and was pretty open about it. Is he anywhere close to sort of getting out of that? It certainly looks as if the exit velocity is good. It looks as if he's hitting the ball hard. How close is he to getting out of the slump?
It's been an interesting one. I think the answer to your question is that he's close. First off, gets to play in some NL West parks, does well there. June's his best month, and then the metrics. But it's weird about this. He hasn't been chasing. He's been hitting the ball just as hard. His timing has been off. And, you know, yeah. And, you know, you said that the fans love about him, and that's absolutely true. But just because we are in 2025, and it's been true for a while, where we eat our own, you know, people turn on people too, man. Like, man, I love how emotional he is. I love how much he cares. Oh, what's the matter with him? Why is he pouting? Yeah. You know, like, hey, anyway, I did think it was nice that Fernando did talk about that and was emphatic about when I'm doing well, I'm not going to be happy. You know, and he, you know, he didn't say this, but it's basically like, I'm not apologizing. Like, and look, I believe very strongly that, especially among the very talented or the very eccentric, the very smart, the very successful, that your best qualities can be those that I don't want to say your worst, but they can be, that bite you. Right? That you end up having to fight your passion, right? Well, don't take it away from them. Sometimes, you know, they got to figure out how to work within the system with that passion. I will make no apologies for Fernando Tatis Jr. It is my job to sort of talk to him about it, explain about it, especially when it seems like it is such a big issue for the fan base. And as I mentioned in the story, it becomes at times a big issue for the team. Mm-hmm. They feed off of Fernando. That's one of the guys they feed off of. You look at Manny Machado, you don't know if he was 0 for 22. Mm-hmm. Now, that worked for Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. Could it work a little better for Tatis? I don't know. Maybe. But it's not just fans. Now, fans might take it to another, a certain segment of fans might take it to a level that's like, how do you know? But it's the team as well that's like, hey, you're big for us, man. And your attitude is big for us. And let's, you know, you're doing okay. You're going to be all right. Let's work on this and we're going to get out of it. And those are the kind of conversations they will have with him from time to time.
And it seems like there is more maturity there than there was earlier in his career. It seems like he's been able to, you know, I mean, gosh, the lasting image for me, right, is Manny yelling at him in the dugout, right? Was it in Texas?
St. Louis. And yes, and at 21 years old, right? Right. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, to me, I feel like he's somewhere between where he used to be and kind of where Manny Machado is. Right. That's interesting. Speaking of Manny Machado, he hit his 350th home run in that series against the Giants. I think well on pace to be a Hall of Fame baseball player. What does 350 mean? I know he will tell you it's not that big a deal. What does 350 mean in the context of his career?
You know, I think, yeah, you're right. Manny is kind of downplays. I do believe he legitimately wasn't thinking of it in the moment yesterday and then realized it and did acknowledge that it is a big deal. And here's why. You know, you once you get on these lists, right? So once he gets to, and he's whatever it is, 30, is it a little slightly less than 30 or slightly more than 30 hits from 2000. Mm-hmm. Once he's at the 350 homer 2000 hit level, he's one of 12 guys to have done it. Eight of them are Hall of Famers. And I'm talking not skin, but skin of their teeth Hall of Famers. Right. Three, including Manny, will be Hall of Famers. Or like, you know, the other two are Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera. They'll be Hall of Famers. And then there's Alex Rodriguez, who would be a Hall of Famer if he hadn't, you know, done what he did. I don't know if we should still stay alleged with Alex Rodriguez. There's been a lot of evidence, but I don't think he's come out and admitted it. But yeah, when you're on that list and when you're trending like that, it's like, okay, wow, that's who I'm with. And then the rest of us have to look at it and go, okay, now it's time. Now that he's reached this level, we talk about future Hall of Famer, and I'm a big believer. You know what the difference between Trevor Hoffman and Manny Machado is? Trevor Hoffman's in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
That's right.
You got to get there still. All right. Future Hall of Famer. That's a nice tag. No one's calling you and I future Hall of Famers. You know, no one's calling Nick Pivetta future Hall of Famer. That's nice. You get to be called future Hall of Famer, but you haven't done anything. I thought it was really interesting what Manny said yesterday. He talked about the guys on this list, in particular Cabrera, Pujols, you know, contemporaries of his to some extent, guys he looked up to, in particular Pujols. And he said, man, it's amazing, yada, yada. Give me half of their careers the rest of the way and I'll be happy. And I'm thinking, I need to do the math on that, because I think if you gave him half of their careers the rest of the way, he'd still be a Hall of Famer. So like, that's the level we're at with Manny now.
Yeah, it's only 11 players have reached those two marks in their age 32 season, which is where Machado is. Of those eight, the eight sort of surefire Hall of Famers, Hank Aaron, I've heard of him, Jimmy Fox, Lou Gehrig, Ken Griffey Jr., Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Mel Ott, and Frank Robinson. That works. Yeah. Those guys work. Real quick, let's take a look at Padres Brewers here. It's a three-game series starting tonight, 5 o'clock San Diego time in Milwaukee. Pitching matchups. We won't spend too much time on this, but it's, hold on, according to our Jeff Sanders, Randy Vasquez versus a guy named Chad Patrick tonight. I don't know a whole lot about him.
Rookie with an ERA under 3. So there you go.
Yep. He's been pretty good. Then you go to Saturday. It's Stephen Kolek versus Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana is 36 years old.
Who absolutely shoved against the Padres in 2 starts last year.
Right.
And I think if I go back 2 more years with the Mets to 22, for, 2 years from last year, I think he shoved that year both times as well. But yeah, that's a tough guy. Okay.
Yep. Jose Quintana is the reason Dylan Cease became a White Sox, if I recall correctly.
Oh,
was it? He was a Cub. Yes. Got traded to the White Sox for Quintana.
Yes, the Cubs. Right.
Yes. And then Sunday, Ryan Burgert, and we're going soft G on Burgert here. It's not Burgert.
According to Jeff Sanders, most people around the team will still say Burgert, but that doesn't mean anything. It's what Ryan's family says. I haven't asked Ryan yet because I trust Jeff on these when he has covered a guy through the minor leagues and talked to everybody.
Yes, against Aaron Civale, 101, 5.19 ERA, 29-year-old veteran guy. So, yeah, interesting matchup. You know, the Brewers are nothing if not consistent.
Ryan, you know? They're the Brewers. It's freaking amazing. Here we are again. Like, they got 5 guys with OPS pluses above 100. Reese Hoskins, the only one who's really above 100. Like, so that's 4 average guys. Christian Yelich hits a home run or a ground out. They're 5 games above 500. Their pitching staff is middling to not middling. And guess what? Isn't that what we say every year? And there they are every year.
Yep. This is like the team that wins like the Mid-American Conference in basketball, right? They make the tournament, man. They make the tournament every year and they take their chances when they get there. They don't spend any money, really. The money that they have spent hasn't turned out great. But
the National League Rays, but honestly, better at it, better at getting themselves in the tournament.
Yes, absolutely better at getting themselves in the tournament. So Padres Brewers, 3-game series from Milwaukee. Kevin, we've got a heart out here, so I will not bore you with any silly questions about Milwaukee or beer or Laverne and Shirley.
I've come to love them, Ryan, but oh, yes, I got to get to that ballpark. And this is one of the places it's not close. You got to hop in an Uber, can't walk. And so this is one of those places.
Right. And you've got to stop and like rub the Fonzie statue downtown, right?
I did. I grew up in that era, man. I grew up, you were watching reruns. I was begging my mom to stay up till 8:30 to be able to watch Happy Days.
That's awesome. 5:10 p.m. tonight, 4:35 tomorrow. That game is on Fox, Big Boy Fox. And then 10:05 Sunday, Roku TV. No, I will not tell you how to find it. Look it up.
Yeah, because you don't know how, Ryan. Yes, I changed my flight to get out of here. Do you know that this is one of the places where I forgot? Early in the year, till about midsummer, they play their Sunday games at 12:05, and then later it's 1:05. So there've been several years I can't get out of here after a game because it's Milwaukee. And like their last flight is at dark. this time of year I can. So I'm very excited because I got to get back for the Dodgers series that starts on Monday.
Yes, that will give us something to talk about on Monday, for sure. First series between the Padres and Dodgers. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.